afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host, Alfred Addis, will be returning with me on Monday as we resume our normal schedule for the radio program. But today you're hearing me, my opinion, my commentary on today's economic and political events. And we do have Wendy Wilson joining us from Apothecary Herbs right after we do the market report. I think she's going to talk to us about a broken heart. But first, let's get to today's market report for Wednesday, November 23rd, 2016. And they did it again today. Gold, they just clobbered gold today, down 23.40 heading into the Thanksgiving Day weekend at 11.89.70. But the phone's been ringing off the hook as you're all taking advantage of these even lower prices. Silver down 28 at 16.44, with platinum down 8, $933. Palladium is down 4 at 739. And of course, with all the record-breaking stock markets, that's before we get there. Let's see where the dollar's at. The dollar was up strong today, 0.65 at 101.66. Crude oil was down 4 cents at 47.99. And the paper markets today, the Dow closed. I had no doubt that the Dow wouldn't close over 19,000. Should have gone to Vegas on that one. The Dow, 19,082, up 58 points. The NASDAQ was down 5 at 53.80, and the S&P was up basically 1 point at 22.04. So I think the markets, over the conversation over the Turkey Day dinner table, will probably be mainly about the Dow and the markets and how great everything is. And it'll probably, the election will probably take second place, maybe third, maybe fourth. But we'll have to ask that question when we return next week. 10-year yield today, 2.36%, up 0.04. And the euro is still holding 106, but down almost the same as the dollar, was up 0.64. I'm sorry, down 0.64. And European markets in Japan were basically flat overnight. And the emotion driving the market, which emotion is driving the market? Well, it looks like greed is beginning to take over at 69. Currently at 69. Kind of makes you wonder, you know, a week ago we were trading, right before the election, we were trading down at 14, 13, and we've gone all the way up to 69 on what? On an election, and yet nothing has happened. So really is incredible what moves these markets. But right now we're going to move to talk to Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody. I almost said hello, Al, so he's not here with us today, but I hope he has a good Thanksgiving. I thought today we'd talk about if it's possible to die from a broken heart. You know, I think Hollywood has tried to make an impression on us that it's possible, but what does scientific medicine say? You know, broken heart is usually described as extreme sadness or loneliness. And, you know, during the holiday season, Melody, loneliness is felt even more acutely by some.
Yes.
So, yep, statistics are also showing that doctors treat more patients for depression in the fall and winter months, especially if you're north of the equator. However, some of these cases are really due to what is called seasonal affective disorder, or SAD. And when the days grow really short and there's less sunlight, it tends to affect some people and their mood. So we're going to see if we're going to compare seasonal affective disorder, depression, and a broken heart to see if there's any correlations and if medical science thinks you can die from a broken heart. First, let's check out the seasonal depression. If we look at what seasonal depression is all about, well, about 10% of the U.S. population, Melody, has sudden affective disorder, SAD. The planet spins into that fall-winter solstice, and the daylight exposure is less intense and shorter in duration.
I just get sleepy and want to go to bed earlier.
Right. Well, it affects a lot of people's mood to the point where they're feeling depressed. Mm-hmm. And it seems to affect females more than it does males. And the effects materialize. Usually they start in your 20s and 30s, but now teenagers are reporting to experience it as well. So the statistics are showing us there are fewer cases SAD or seasonal affective disorder near the equator. If you're getting more sunlight. Mm-hmm. So the symptoms are, if you have this seasonal depression or SAD feeling, you tend to crave carbohydrates more. You increase your appetite and you may gain weight. You have excessive sleepiness and you may feel lethargic. Also, anxiety or irritability could come into the mix, as well as feeling a bit socially withdrawn, decreased libido, and mood changes, of course. So let's compare the seasonal affective disorder to what is called clinically depressed and heart disease and dying from a broken heart, because they're really pretty similar. We've got a lot of crossover symptoms. But according to the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute, Melanie, there is a condition that medicine calls broken heart syndrome. I never heard of this. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, it affects more women than men, and the U.S. Heart Association has recently recognized the syndrome is a legitimate heart problem. So according to science, broken heart syndrome develops after you experience extreme emotional or physical stress that can severely damage the heart muscle, even if the stress event is short term. So the official diagnosis of broken heart syndrome is called stress-induced cardiomyopathy. And the risk of this condition being misdiagnosed is high because there's a lot of crossover symptoms similar to heart attack or cardiac arrest. The difference is the symptoms of broken heart syndrome are not due to blocked arteries that seem to cause more heart attacks. And the positive side is that broken heart syndrome is that patients usually make quick recoveries because they're pretty much relatively healthy. So what are the symptoms? Well, according to the Heart Association, broken heart syndrome is a reaction to a surge of stress, which releases hormones. In this event, such as, death or divorce, can cause a broken heart syndrome to occur. So when we experience this, the stress, you can even get it from what they call excitement-related stress, like if you win the lottery or you're riding a roller coaster, and that's why you see those signs at the park warning, if you have a heart condition, don't ride this ride. So what the physical symptoms of broken heart syndrome are, especially if you have no history of heart disease, you have a temporary enlargement of the heart. The heart drops its pumping of blood, so it's like a heart weakness. It's called cardiac shock. And if it's not looked at right away, it could be fatal. The heart may encounter more forceful contractions or an irregular beat or arrhythmia, and this is why it confuses some doctors whether you're having this stress-related syndrome or if you're having a real heart attack. The heart can also have, you can have chest pains similar to angina, shortness of breath, and the heart muscle can show some damage, but it's short-term because the heart can repair itself. Also, there's shorter recovery time than from a heart attack and a low repeat of occurrence and rare instances of death. Now, but, Melanie, more people, more women especially, are succumbing to coronary heart disease. We're fast catching up to the men in the heart disease area. 1 in 4 women are developing heart disease, and medicine has published a lot of research papers on the causes of the disease, and most of it stems from a buildup of plaque in those inner artery walls and the coronary arteries, and that can rob you of oxygen-rich blood, especially going to the heart. Now, the plaque is really a byproduct of lifestyle and consists of fat, cholesterol, calcium, and some additional substances that will circulate in the blood. So the plaque hardens and it can cause heart pain or the angina. Blood clots can also occur, especially if the plaque starts to rupture anything, then you could have a heart attack. Women typically develop cardio heart disease the average 10 years after men do. I didn't know that. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
So we do develop it. We're catching up, but we have, I guess, a delay. I guess men still have more stress than women. Women typically develop the disease 10 years after men, but still this is the number one killer for women. Now, in November of 2016, this month, in the issue of Science Daily, the American Heart Association reported that women over the age of 50 who are, if they ate high-protein diets from meat, they were at a higher risk of heart disease and heart failure. So according to their study, there seems to be more protection when the diet is rich in vegetable protein compared to animal protein. So according to the American Heart Association, they state this: there are established ties between depression, mental health, and heart disease. So I guess the more depressed you are, the more you're going to be at risk of developing some sort of problem with the cardio system. Any questions so far?
Well, that kind of makes sense, because when you're depressed, you don't do anything. You have a tendency to do all the bad things for yourself. But, you know, the part about women and the heart disease, you know, we have more and more women, you know, in the workplace. There are more and more women that are the head of family, where the husband stays home and she goes out there and provides the household income. And that is stressful. You have more and more women that are doing businesses that are it's stressful. It can be very stressful at times. And
What about women? What about women now going off into the military, you know, and the husband stays home with the beach nut, you know what I'm saying? Yep. That makes no sense to me.
But well, I wouldn't want to do that.
I know. I mean, you see these commercials, you know, these ads for the military, and here she comes home, you know, to surprise kids for the holiday, and he's home, you know, feeding babies and everything. It's just weird looking to me. I don't know. I'm a traditionalist. Let's just say it, you know.
Well, I am too, and there's a lot of weird things that you see on commercials anymore, and so many of them are just so slight, so quick. And perhaps if I didn't do what I do and believe what I believe, it probably goes by without many people observing these little inserts that they place in these commercials, but just a little bit of conditioning going on.
Yeah, I've noticed it too. I think a lot of people have. Well, hopefully, you know, we have some things on the horizon going to be a change for the better, you know, because what we need is righteous men in leadership roles. We do. And that goes a long way. But getting back to our broken heart thing, so apparently it is scientifically proven you can die from a broken heart, a lot of stress, wherever the stress is coming from. Now, sometimes we forget, though, we have more power and control over our health than we think we do. So if we make some decisions to consume foods and beverages that put us at greater risk of heart failure, then, you know, down the road we're going to expect to have, you know, the bad news. But a little indulgence too often can really cause weakness in the body, and it's going to come back to bite us. So if we apply a little pressure to those weak areas, like say the heart, we can be in distress and rack up some big medical bills. So I personally don't advocate using a bunch of medications to mask symptoms, because symptoms are indications there's something wrong. Even if it's emotions, don't stuff those away. We need to deal with those, because it's going to cause a physical, it's going to metastasize somewhere else. You know what I mean? So Apothecary Herbs does have some heart strengthening formulas. We do have them on the heart tab inside the web store. If you want to go to the website, just click on heart and cardio, or you could just flip to the cardio section in the catalog, and our new catalog is going to be here Monday, I'm told.
Fantastic.
So I know, it's like, you know, giving birth, but it'll be here, bouncing baby catalog. And anyway, we specialize, as you know, in those whole food organic formulas, which are balanced, the chemistry is balanced, and that's why they work so much better for the system.
Your heart remedies, everyone talks about CoQ10.
Mm-hmm.
How is your heart remedies in comparison to that product?
Well, you're talking about coenzymes, and a lot of natural foods and substances, even your herbs, will have enzyme actions. They'll have antioxidants. So if they're worried about CoQ10, I personally rather get it in my food sources. And the reason is if you're getting isolated nutrients, you can get that chemistry off really quickly. For instance, let's say you're taking a calcium supplement. Well, the body likes the two minerals of boron and magnesium with it, so it can uptake and absorb it and utilize it. So if you don't have that balance of 2-to-1 there for the calcium and the mineral elements, you're not going to absorb the calcium that your system's needing, and you run the risk of displacing it. So a lot of people get bone spurs, and they get hard calcium buildup in arteries and veins, and, you know, a lot of cholesterol buildup in stones in the gallbladder. So I think if we just are smart about our food sources, we can sidestep a lot of these issues down the road. So personally, I like it, the chemistry that's balanced. And if you're saying, well, I need 50 milligrams here and 150 milligrams there, well, that may be great for CoQ10 or vitamin D, you know, but what about the other buffer alkaloids that need to go with them so the body can use it properly? They're probably not in there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So. You know, you said about food. I know, and I hear from a lot of people, listeners, clients, and so forth, and they'll tell me, oh, you have to buy this, you have to buy this. Oh, I heard this here somewhere. You have to get this. And even my own doctor told me, he says, yeah. He says, he has patients where when he starts talking to them and that he has them write down what vitamins and all the other supplements that they're taking, he says they have 20, 30, 40 different types of things that they're taking.
Mm-hmm.
That cannot be good.
Well, no, because we're supposed to get it in our foods, and I know some of our foods aren't as nutritious as they used to be, but, you know, I personally pay extra for the certified organic, the grass-fed, the animals with no, you know, antibiotics and so forth, because you're either going to pay it at the grocery store or you're going to pay it somewhere else to try to stay healthy. So try to get in your foods, and even your supplements, you're not supposed to be taking them for life, just like you're not supposed to take drugs for life. You use them to balance and for a shortfall and to strengthen, but you're not supposed to have to rely on them. So we just have to do more with a diet. We do. We have to keep it simple. And more fruits and vegetables, you know, 4 ounces of meat maybe. Mediterranean diet, you've heard that. That's a pretty balanced diet, actually, and it's really good for the system. And the people of the Mediterranean have far less disease than the West, the people in the West.
That's why I think you bring such a great service to the people, because you have a purpose and you have a plan for people instead of just, you know, something new comes on the market and you want to sell it. And, you know, I thank you for that. And I know my listeners and clients do too. And because you do bring the whole thing together. And we're just about out of time, Wendy. Do you want to give us some contact information, please?
Oh, absolutely. And I hope you have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.
They can visit us online at thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com, or call toll free at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. And the Black Friday special runs through Saturday, and then Cyber Monday will be a whole another special going on, so check us out.
All righty, give your number out one more time.
866-229-3663. Have a great day.
Thank you, Wendy. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Please stay tuned, folks. I'll be right back. You are listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And this program, of course, is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit the website, dgscoins.com, and, of course, sign up for the weekly newsletter, and you can listen to these programs live and archived. And so that's what you could do tomorrow instead of talking about the elections and not talk about the record-breaking stock markets. You can listen to the radio programs and share our newsletter. This is the first time I've been solo on a program in a very, very long time. I might be a little rusty. It's just myself and Ruby here in the broadcast room. So let's go ahead and talk about some of the reports that were released today. And the last part of the program today, we're going to talk a little turkey. We're going to talk a little bit, you're just going to have to stay tuned and find out what kind of turkey we're going to be talking about. I guarantee you it'll be related to our economy or our financial problems that we might have, or it could be good news too. I'm always looking for good news. As I mentioned earlier, gold prices got creamed and again for a second monthly decline. And this is with the expectations that the president-elect Trump is going to bolster spending, helping push the odds for a rate increase next month to 100%, and of course boosting the dollar. We certainly saw that today. But one thing that we saw the same type of gold movement last year, when there was all this discussion about the rate increase coming on in December. Pressure was on gold up to the announcement of the quarter point increase, only to have one heck of a year following that. 2016 was a great year until this month. It was up close to 30% at one point in time. It's still up. I think it's almost still up 10%. Even based on the low numbers that we've seen today. So still a good year for gold, 10%. Hey, I'd take it any day of the week. So, and silver, it's still a good performing for the year. So, those 30% increases are hard to hold. But give me 10% any day. And, of course, that's what you found with your gold and silver. And, of course, there will be a quarter point next month. In the first part of December, I expect you're going to see 3 or 4 increases. But we have some reports I'm going to talk briefly, and then there's even predictions that are beginning to show up, and we'll talk about some of those, maybe some black swans for next year. And this is coming from Reuters, so you're looking at more of a mainstream out of London. So we'll talk about that. Today there was a report, purchases of new homes declined. U.S. homes declined in October to a four-month low, showing that residential real estate market is beginning to soften a month prior to a jump in borrowing cost. Sales decreased 1.9% to a 563,000 annualized pace. This report, this data was given to us by the Commerce Department. The median forecast in a Bloomberg called for a 590,000 rate, so that certainly is a lot lower than even what Bloomberg had anticipated. The market now faces a test after mortgage rates climbed last week by the most since mid-2013. We also had mortgage applications dropped 9% after the election, as we saw the rate of the 10-year yield rise a little over 75 basis points. Commerce Department also revised the September reading down to a 574,000 pace from a previously estimated 593,000. So now you see where Bloomberg got that 590. They did bring it down. So again, if the Commerce Department didn't have to do all these revisions and change them from 593 to 574, yeah, we'd have a little bit better understanding of exactly what the housing market is doing. It's a little interesting here to see the slowdown as a breakdown by area of the country. The slowdown in demand last month was led by over a 13% decrease in the Midwest to a six-month low. You had a 3% drop in the South. In the West, purchases climbed 8.8% to 148,000 annualized pace, but that was the strongest this year. The median sales price of a new house increased 1.9% from October 2015 to $304,000. And that was also in today's report. Excuse me. This morning I was on a program, and there was a caller talking about how the government should give people back their land, that it would generate a lot of the economy would boom if they did this. Not sure how the government would sell the land back to the people. I don't think the government should sell the land back to the people. I think there should be more homesteading available to the people, for the land. When you look at a $304,000 home, I mean, how many people can afford a quarter million plus dollar home? And what happens when rates rise? You'll have home values that'll plummet, but you know that value, what their monthly payment is going to be, will pretty much be the same as though they're buying a $304,000 home. So I think it would be great if people could homestead again, where they could, you know, hey, live on their own, grow their own food, you know, homeschool their children, because the housing in this country is just unaffordable. So that might be a good plan. Not sure that'll get done. That's a big move, and I'm not sure. We're going to have a lot of big moves this year, and different things and different challenges in when these changes occur. Yeah, it's not going to be sunshine and lollipops right away. There's going to be, you know, where you have an action, you're going to have a reaction. Whether that reaction could be good or bad, we'll have to wait and see. But certainly I'm optimistic to what we face in the future. And we'll see what President-elect Donald Trump's economic plans. We'll see what he can get done. It's certainly going to spark inflation. And again, you know, interest rates will be climbing. The average rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage surged 37 basis points last week to 3.94%. That's the highest since the start of the year. The rate is still close to a record low, though. So, but it's not going to, it doesn't take much. I mean, people don't have that disposable income. And we saw a 75-point base move on the 10-year yield, which is what the that's what they base the mortgages on. So it didn't take much for applications to drop with a little bit move in that rate. So we'll have to see exactly how these rate increases do affect the housing market. It isn't going to be good. It's not going to be good at all. New orders for U.S. Manufactured capital goods rebounded in October as the durable goods report was given out today. There was a rise in demand for machinery and a range of other equipment, the largest indication of an acceleration in economic growth early in the fourth quarter. So what's changed in 3 months? The brightening economic outlook received a further boost from other data on Wednesday, showing a jump in consumer sentiment this month following the election of Donald Trump as the next president. Well, you know, before the election, you would have thought the world was going to stop if Donald Trump was elected president. And of course, that didn't happen. But here it shows that the consumer sentiment is actually higher because of his election, except for those college kids who want free schooling, free college. They're the only ones that are disappointed in the election of Mr. Trump. That was interesting. I saw a young gal interviewing some college students, and she was asking them about the Civil War. She was asking, you know, just basic history questions, just who the vice president was. And probably, and I get a lot of these can be edited out. You know, maybe she had to talk to 50 kids or college students before she got, you know, 10 of the answers that she showed. But none of them knew. I think one knew the vice president's name. But then when she asked about, the pop art, I guess, or the pop, you know, like questions about, you know, Kanye West or, you know, something. Oh, they knew it right away. They knew it right away, but they had absolutely no knowledge of history at all. And I was really surprised when I had visited Europe of just how well everyone, not just, you know, the older adults, but everyone knows their history. I mean, they certainly have a longer history than we do, but they even know our history better than we do. So, again, you had consumers embrace the election. Guess they're out there spending for the holidays. We'll have to see how that works out through the Christmas season. I mentioned that we were going to talk about predictions for 2017. They're beginning to appear. This is out of Reuters, London. The title was Peaks, Black Swans, and Bonanzas, some eye catchers for 2017. And when you first get into the article, it talks about, you know, how great everything is going to be, how the developed markets are being favored over emerging markets. The all kinds of banks are expected to benefit from the steepening bond yield curves. You're going to have this infrastructure spending, which could boost housing and construction stocks. So, you know, all this goes through, and then we get down to the predictions. But what goes against that grain? That's pretty much the consensus. But what wrinkles might appear? And we all know bond yields to fall. HSBC, who correctly called the recent slide in U.S. bond yields to historic lows, that's debatable, but says bond yields may well rise next year and expect 10-year Treasury yields to hit 2.5%. But they say this in the first quarter. They say after the first quarter, HSBC's bond strategist, Stephen Major, reckons they will fall back sharply to 1.35%. So you're going for 2.5% down to 1.35%, effectively retesting the multi-decade low that was struck this year, because an initial rise to 2.5% would be unsustainable by tightening financial conditions dragging on the economy. They can't raise rates. They want to, they have to, they should, but they can't, because once they do, it's like putting the brakes on any economy that is beginning to take off. But to me, a drop from 2.5% down to 1.35%, that's an incredible drop. And this is expected in the first quarter. So again, a very volatile year for 2017. Bank of America, Merrill Lynch, they in 2016, they saw peak liquidity, peak inequality, peak globalization, and the end of the biggest ever bull market in bonds. This is the one thing that they're all predicting. The biggest ever bull market in bonds is coming to an end. It all starts to reverse. Again, volatility. Hey, I'll take gold prices at these levels. I can buy more gold with that stronger dollar. Same way with silver. You can buy more silver with those stronger dollars. Take advantage, because even your elite, your banks, SocGen, we're going to talk about them, Bank of America, HSBC, Do I think highly of them? No. But, I mean, they're coming out and they're telling us how volatile the markets are going to be in their terms. So, again, you're looking at that because they know bond yields, the bonds have peaked, 35-year bull market. Economists at SocGen, they're going to illustrate a graphic with the four black swans that could blight the global economic and market landscape next year for good. Mostly bad news. What they see next year's outlook stems from political uncertainty, about a 30% risk factor, the steep increase in bond yields, about 25%. They're the only ones that mentioned a hard landing in China, about a 25%. And they're also predicting trade wars, about 15%. So even though that's not very high overall, it's still listed. Another item is the dollar is overvalued versus other G10 currencies. That means it's going to go down. It's going to go down. And again, great time to be buying your gold and silver at the stronger dollar, because as the dollar drops, it's going to take more of those dollars to buy that same amount of gold. So the dollar is overvalued. Everyone knows it, except the mainstream, except the main general populace out there. The dollar is overvalued. Not something you hear very often. They predict the euro will end next year at 120, going against the growing calls for parity. I'm not so sure that's going to happen, but if the dollar weakens, yeah, there's going to be another currency that's going to get stronger. And I think the weakest, there's a lot of weak currencies out there. They'll all benefit from it, but you'll begin to see those other currencies getting stronger. The euro will also draw some support from the ECB tapering its QE. While undervalued, the sterling will pick itself up from its Brexit to rally against the greenback. So, and again, these are all cycles. They all take their turns. They're all interacted. And so, again, take advantage of that stronger dollar. More QE from the ECB. Inflation has bottomed out. The Fed is raising rates. And other central banks are beginning to reduce their stimulus. The ECB will taper its 80 billion euros a month. Maybe, maybe not. The RBC capital markets expect the ECB to not only extend QE in December, but to consider it again later next year. Inflation. I mean, it's going to be all about inflation next year. And then we also talk about our $1 trillion U.S. earnings bonanza. How much offshore earnings can U.S. companies bring back if President-elect Trump follows through with his pledge to cut corporate tax? About $1 trillion, according to Deutsche Bank. This could give U.S. stocks already a record high, another shot in the arm. Citibank looks to see global equities will rise about 10% next year. Hey, we're going to talk about cheerier news here in a little bit. So stay tuned. We're heading into a break, and you're listening to Financial Survival. Tell me again tonight. Each and every heart is
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom. Alfreda Dask will be back with me on Monday. And so I'm here flying solo by myself, and I thank you for staying on with me. And the day before Thanksgiving, I'm going to say it now in case I do run out of time at the end of the program. I want to wish each and every one of you a very happy Thanksgiving, a very blessed Thanksgiving. And we will have James Corbett on the program on Friday. The program you normally hear Thursday with James Corbett will be played on Friday. And usually on holidays like Thanksgiving and Christmas, I just play music for the whole hour. So you'll be able to tune in if you'd like some nice holiday Thanksgiving music. It will be there for you. You know, we talk about job losses when we talk about globalization, bad trade deals being forced upon this country. We think about people who lose their jobs, how difficult it is for them financially, but what about their health? You know, with Wendy Wilson on the program earlier, we talked about stress, about the broken heart, what it can do through stress, how it's affecting women. And with this free trade agenda, what has it done to the health of the people who have lost their jobs due to outsourcing their financial existence, basically? And there was a report that I found that it is troubling as a new cause of death for middle-aged white Americans. And I promise as soon as this is over, we will talk turkey. So, and this was an article by Max Efron, and my apologies to Max. But this is about white Americans without a college degree who are becoming more likely to die in middle age, reversing decades of progress towards better health. Well, there's all kinds of reasons. But this report, a study that was done by a pair of economists, are basically pointing out to a trend that they've noticed with increases in opioid abuse, obesity, and suicide as a cause of death, but also as a link to no work. There's a pair of economists has advanced this new theory. They suggest that for many workers, a major shift in the structure of the U.S. economy could have been fatal. The two researchers, Justin Pierce and Peter Schott, found evidence that trade with China has resulted in greater rates of suicide and poisonings. This is including drug overdoses after the year 2000, when Clinton and Republican lawmakers allowed a major increase in imports. Now, these two researchers, Pierce and Schott, suggested that as competition with the Chinese manufacturing has forced these factories, the U.S. factories, to close, many of the Americans who were laid off never got their lives back together. Instead, they fell into depression or addiction. White adults, in particular, suffered from the change in policy. Schott thinks that trade can have important economic benefits on the whole, but that his results show that policymakers need to do more to help the workers that are displaced. Economists estimate, these two economists estimate that the increase in Chinese imports caused an additional 0.4 suicides per 100,000 residents in countries where local economies were vulnerable to competition. The figure for poisonings was 1.3 deaths per 100,000 people, and this is according to Pierce, who was on the staff of the Federal Reserve's Board of Governors, and Schott, and an economist at Yale University. This nonpartisan Natural Bureau of Economic Research published the findings in a working paper, and like most experts on trade, Schott argues against new tariffs or other restrictions. Instead, he calls on policymakers to do more to ensure that everyone shares in the gains from globalization. Well, you know, Trump isn't closing the door on trade. There will be global trade, but there is a difference between fair trade and free trade. Tariffs is a way to make trade more fair. In the 30s, you had the Smoot-Hawley legislation that placed tariffs on imported goods from China and elsewhere. This situation offered more protection to the U.S. industries, whose competitors confronted the steepest rates. You had manufacturers of plastic bottles. You had textile mills, especially those that produced knit fabric and lace, also benefited. Lawmakers gradually weakened these tariffs over time, and those on Chinese goods had become minimal by the end of the century. U.S. industries still enjoyed implicit protection because there was always a possibility that the lawmakers would allow those tariffs to revert to the high levels set in the 30s. And investors looking to put money into Chinese factories had no assurance that they would be able to continue producing goods for the U.S. market. But in 2000, it changed when Clinton and Congress made the lower tariffs permanent. So it just wasn't NAFTA. This is in the 2000. Clinton and Congress made the lower tariffs permanent. Pierce and Schott wrote a decision that most negatively affected the industries that had the highest tariffs under Smoot-Hawley. The opening with China was far more consequential for the U.S. labor market than previous trade deals, including NAFTA. Employment in domestic manufacturing, which had been declining only gradually, plummeted after 2000. Chinese imports put between 2 million and 2.4 million Americans out of work. The financial crisis in 2008 and the more minor recession in 2000 only added to the decline. But these two economists then examined records of deaths compiled by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, comparing data from counties where the local economy was more reliant on those favored industries. The increase in suicide attributed to the increase in imports was equivalent to 4% of the natural average. And for poisonings, including overdoses, the increase was about 28% of the national average. So again, you know, the loss of jobs, yes, financially, economically, we see things, you know, people have a harder time getting by, but it also has affected the health. And again, it's stress, not working, and but finally, after all these years, someone, you know, at least did a paper on it. Here's another trend of no jobs. I mean, this is kind of shocking. You heard of, you know, these flash mobs. You know, and usually you see dancers or singers, you know, these flash mob singers or flash mob dancers. And we've seen these run and grab robbers. But this is flash mob robbers that are storming stores. They steal thousands of dollars in merchandise in just minutes. I mean, there is one group, they call them the Rainbow Girls. They go into these stores with shopping bags. And there's 15, 20 of them. They run into these stores and they just fill up their bags and leave. They've estimated in various stores $11,000 worth of goods in less than 2 minutes. Some have walked off with a combined more than $130,000 worth of luxury goods. Often in groups of up to 15 people, these people burst into a store, thieves, burst into a store, make a beeline to the high-end products, and just fill their bags. And before the store employees or security realizes what is happening, the mob has dispersed, goods in tow, and there isn't anything anyone can do. And if you walk into any retail stores anymore, I mean, they have cut down the employees. You can't even find employees in these stores anymore. Forget about a security guard to keep people from stealing. And when you steal, you know, if you add the theft in your retail stores, it really does tack on about $50 overall per individual it really does add a lot. Massachusetts, they're also having a problem with this. This group that I had mentioned earlier, Rainbow Girls, they have stolen more than $1 million in merchandise. $1 million! And they don't even know who they are. And so you're beginning to see this pop up everywhere across the country. The rise of flash mob robbers over the past 7 years is one of the most significant emerging trends in retail. Yeah, I'd want to sell online too. But these events have become more vogue and popular via the viral spread, referring to how quickly these videos of these heists are shared across social media. And sometimes these robberies happen spontaneously. Other times they're organized by criminals, and the robbers can get $40,000+ in under 2 minutes. It's just like the dance routine that I mentioned earlier. It's very coordinated. And so, again, another sign of, you know, just how poor this country is being run, no law and order, and maybe something we can feel optimistic that Mr. Trump perhaps can put a stop to some of this. Now we're going to talk about Turkey. An improving economy, a better job market, rising wages, and low gas prices all mean that most Americans since 2007 will be traveling during the Thanksgiving Day holiday. AAA Auto Club projects that 48.7 million people will take a trip during the Thanksgiving holiday period, which began this morning at 12:01 a.m. Western, or I should say 12:01 a.m. Wednesday, and ends at 11:59 p.m. Sunday. The all-time record was set in 2007 when 50.6 million people traveled for Thanksgiving. AAA considers someone a Thanksgiving traveler who drives, flies, or takes other transportation. In 2008, only 37.8 million people traveled for the holidays. And of course, they talk this is all due to rising wages, increased consumer spending, overall strength, and consumer confidence. Officials say 89% of holiday travelers will drive this Thanksgiving. 43.5 million Americans planning a Thanksgiving road trip represents an increase of 1.9% over last year. Air travel is going to rise 1.6%, and gasoline prices are now on similar course as last year, due in large part to lower oil prices. Now we're going to talk about true turkey, the gobbler, the costs. Americans should be thankful, as we have higher wages. My question is, do we have disposable income? But turkey prices are actually bringing down the cost of Thanksgiving dinner this year. Along with turkey, other food items are showing increases this year. Our pumpkin pie mix, milk, and vegetable tray of celery and carrots. This is according to the American Farm Bureau Federation's annual price survey of classic items found for Thanksgiving. The average cost of this year's feast for 10 is $49.87. Can you really feed 10 people for $49.87? Well, this is what they're telling us the weekend. This is a 24% decrease from last year's average of 50.11. The traditional holiday dinner's cost was down less than 1% this year from 2015, and it marks only the third time in a decade that the annual survey shows an overall price decline. A 16-pound turkey, the biggest single-ticket item in the meal, averaged $22.74 this year, or 1.3% from last year. Consumers will pay less than $5 per person for a classic Thanksgiving dinner this year. I don't know where these people are living, but I would love to feed for $5 per person. The item with the biggest price to clean in percentage terms this year was the 1-pound tray of carrots and celery. The meal item with the biggest percentage price increase this year was a dozen rolls. Go figure that. Bread increased 9.3%, almost 10% from 2015. The average price of pumpkin pie mix in the survey, well, that was down, but the price of pie shells was up almost 5%. The price of a gallon of whole milk was 3.17%, or 2.5% below 2015. Milk prices have been under pressure most of this year due to the global dairy surplus. The price of a pound of green peas for the meal was up 4% this year from 2015, and 3 pounds of sweet potatoes rose nearly 1% from 2015. Cranberries is up 4.4% this year. I guess the drought up there in the Northeast really affected the cranberry market. Finally, the price of a 14-ounce bag of cubed stuffing was up 2.3% from a year ago. Again, another bread product. And a half pint of whipping cream was up about 3%. Well, you'd think if milk was so low because there's a glut of milk, you wouldn't think that whipping cream would be up by 3%. So, you know, but so again, feeding your family, a family of 10, for less than $50, it's a bargain if you can do it. And my family eats more than that. Anyway, I want to wish each and every one of you a very blessed Thanksgiving. And remember, James Corbett's interview from tonight will be aired on Friday. Until then, folks, be safe and God bless.
Bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.